mother and friends. You cross a hearth at last.
Hello, 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 and welcome to the Lowly Yogi Tales and Other Stuff podcast. Welcome from the multiverse, wherever you find yourself vibrating. Attune this way, and let us have some fun. Today, join as we wander in auspicious coincidence together. To the spirits above, to the spirits below, welcome back to the Lowly Yogi Tales and Other Stuff podcast. So happy to have your company once again, because I'm going to share another spirit foot story, Death's Dog. This was a great one. It came down in chapters, so I'm going to do it each justice as I can. And there's going to be six of them, so there'll be 6 weeks of Death's Dog, another spirit foot tale. All right, chapter one, Death's Invitation. Many journeys in the realm of spirit call Spiritfoot to Death's home. Old friends and great comrades in arms, there's no better company than Death, a host who puts every need to ease. A spirit in need is my journey indeed, is one of Spiritfoot's slogans, and that is what brought her to Death's door today. She no longer waited 3 days and nights for entrance. Cerebus, Death's dog, now met her with a smile and a bark to open the door to Death's realm. Cerebus always fell in alongside Spiritfoot, and Santos and Rantos played fetch with him along the way to the palace. Imps of mighty prowess, and by their report they played with Cerebus as a pup, ran through the gardens of Persephone and danced around the fig tree of life with a stick that had Cerebus's one-pointed attention. Death's dog was not like other dogs in some ways, and just like every dog in all other parts of his nature. The difference was the potency to manifest deadly force at any moment to destroy any and all who might try to enter Death's realm without the pulse, Death's invitation. Spiritfoot laughed with joy as she watched Otto and Incus join the dance of Get the Stick. Otto tickled his nose with his dragon whiskers, and Cerebus rose up like a war dog to greet the dragon in response. Then he caught sight of Incus. Cat! Dog one-pointed attention, and they were off, running through the great arbors of flowers and fruit on the way to the palace's grand entrance. Bards far greater than myself have tried and not done it justice. Black and white, red and gold, stone, jewel, agates all embedded into statues collected through time and space to please Lord Death. Fire and Spiritfoot laughed with every step, a new antic or crazy pose of play. They all loved each other, and every step to the palace was fun. Up and down the stairs to the great front entryway, the palace, a great web of mind, all lives contained within the tapestry, every being awaiting judgment within the web of the palace itself. It always stopped Spiritfoot's mind when she took in the palace built from the souls of all the beings awaiting Death's judgment. Cerebus barked his command, and the doors opened, and his bark echoed our entrance throughout the palace halls. Death awaited Spiritfoot and her entourage of play with sparkle in his eyes and mirth, ready to spirit away any and all in the pure puppy joy rolling up his way. You found them, good dog. Go, dog of dogs, bring them into the tea temple so that we may settle and share the tea sadhana, as I tell you of the need that calls our attention in the realm of spirit. Cerebus herded us all through the palace to the turtle temple, where steeping tea sweetened the waters of the River Six with the ambrosia of the tastiest leaves. The temple spirits greeted the entourage, and Otto flew in first, then Cerebus, Santos, and Rantos close behind. The temple itself made seats for each of us, each to our own comfort and design. Tea spirits, masters of the poor and guides of the Tea Chi from past, present, and future, all met us with hospitality of the love of the Great Mother. Otto found the perfect place to coil on top of a great world tortoise shell. Incas snuggled in by him. Santos and Rantos found their seats of protection at the door of the temple. Fire joined her sisters and gossiped in the flames as they warmed the water for the tea. Lady Lily took her seat by her love, Lord Death, and Spiritfoot took her usual chair, readying to pour the tea for all. "Duck shit today?" asked Spiritfoot. "Good choice. Such a subtle ambrosia. We had to give it a disgusting name to keep it safe," Lord Death gave his assent as he handed Spiritfoot the bag holding the treasured leaves within. 3-1. Let us take the sadhana with the maiden mother and crone today," said Spiritfoot, as she took 3 large pinches of leaves and placed them into her favorite small porcelain brewing pot. It was a gift of the temple given to her as the tea god's recognition of Spiritfoot's mastery of the pour. Spiritfoot smiled to all as she picked up the tortoise kettle and poured the boiling water from the tortoise pot's mouth and nostrils over the dried leaves. "Bubbles and done. Tell me, Lord Death, what brings your most welcome invitation to my door?" "Oh, to the point as always. Pour, and we shall talk on the matter." "What is the matter?" pressed Spiritfoot. "There is something amiss with the spirit gates. Cerberus has been expressing his concern for some time, haven't you, boy?" Cerberus looked up with love and loyalty at the sound of his master's voice. Spiritfoot shifted her attention to the small porcelain cup of tea, and as she picked it up with grace, holding the porcelain lid to the cup just right to allow the tea to flow into a serving pot to share with everyone present, spirit and human alike. "Smell," said Spiritfoot as she offered the steaming leaves to Lady Lilith and Lord Death. Each enjoyed the ambrosia scent and allowed it to meet their palate for the tea to come. Spiritfoot poured the water a second time, and the turtle temple filled with the scents it so desired. Another pour of the golden ambrosia, and Spiritfoot filled all of their glasses. Each in their own nature took in the tea and let the chi ride through them. Only when the chi had settled did Death begin once again. "You see, or maybe you don't, do you know why I have a dog?" "I love Cerberus, but I have never taken even a moment to consider that question. Why does Death have a dog?" Death gave a knowing wink and took a sip of tea. "Well, knowing is at the heart of the matter. Cerberus sits through all with me, a loving companion who warms my toes as I pass judgment on each being who comes before me. There is something more, although it is a gift you cannot imagine in soothing and quality of life." Death's eyes sparkled with the irony as he moved forward, taking the sadhana offering deeper. "Cerberus is my communicator with the realm of spirit. You know well that every gate in the spirit world needs a resonance to pass through it. No resonance, no entry." "Yes, yes. And many times, no resonance does not just mean no entry. It means lifetimes of torture or traps of every other kind, trapped in the realm until you find the resonance to free yourself." "Did you know that it is the dogs that hold the resonance?" "What do you mean, Lord Death? The dogs hold the resonance." "You are a great straight man. Thank you for the lead-in. Shall we have another sip of tea?" Both gave a bow of assent, and all the spirits enjoyed the ambrosia together. There was nothing to be done but to let the chi settle before they could begin once again. "The dogs hold the resonance. Dogs are keepers of the gates. The nature of a dog just is. When they look at something, they are already there. This is how they protect their gates. When a spirit arrives, they meet a dog, or it should be said, a dog meets them and asks for the pulse. When Cerberus sees you, you are already destroyed under his wrath. Love and loyalty gives the spirit time to share the pulse and meet the needs of the gate. No pulse, no passage, and without the means to pass, the dog will stop passage, nothing more to be done, until the spirit finds the pulse and continues their journey. I had no idea dogs are the keepers of the spirit gates. That is why I love them so much." Cerberus gave a deep, startling bark, letting Spiritfoot know that he loved her too. Everyone took in another sip of tea, and Spiritfoot poured another round, and the mother pot brewed. "Have you ever heard the dog chain bark? It is a chorus that most humans disregard as irritation. Listen next time, and you will hear my instructions to the spirits. Cerebus leads the dog chain. He shares my messages with all the spirits along the chain. It is, however, much to Cerebus's frustration, that there are dogs who are forgetting their pulse. This will not do, as without the passage of a dog, no spirit may pass through the gates of the mother, bringing us to your visit today and the dilemma we must solve. There are buildups and blocks forming in the Great Mother that must be addressed, and there is only one yogi I know who is up to the task. Spiritfoot, champion of the Mother, I call on your services as a crazy wisdom advocate of Spirit Realm. Cerebus has stated this dilemma of blockages must be addressed for the health of all within creation. So serious. Spiritfoot cracked a smile, and Death followed her lead. Smile led to laughter, and Spiritfoot gave her sparkling assent. What is the journey you request of me? You know I'm in. How about you all? Santos and Rantos were first, but every spirit's voice came together in expressing joy for a new journey. Wild and ready, each gave their assent and drained their tea to the end. It seems my tribe is in, Lord Death. What is the task at hand? Yes. Cerebus growled deeply, rumbling the floor of the temple. You should show them, you good dog. In a deep, resonant tone, Cerebus began to bark. Then, as if all the dogs throughout creation heard, with one pointed focus, they passed the rhythm down the chain. This is the spirit pulse, and it is my means to share and guide the spirits as they move throughout creation. See how the gate is guarded? Yes, I have noted in my travels in the realm of spirit that each gate is guarded. This is one of the many reasons in answer to your earlier question, that I have a dog. Cerebus and his bark share the pulse for each gate and reminds the guardian of their task, each dog. Now, the problem for which I seek your help is that Cerebus's bark is being blocked, and there are dogs forgetting their rhythms. Due to this, there are gates becoming blocked, as no dog will allow a being, spirit or otherwise, through unless they know the pulse, the rhythm of the bark. Now, with that in mind, consider our problem. When I see the blocks, I know the dogs are forgetting, and no one can pass. That does clarify our dilemma, a picture being worth a thousand words. What is the picture we are working to see here? Death nodded, and with grace took a sip of tea. Now you are with me and up to speed, on understanding, for the picture is not yet clear, for either myself or Cerebus. I believe it will take some scouting to find where the gates are and why all the dogs are forgetting their pulses. Oh, now that does sound like fun, and no better cause than to help Cerebus with his spirit work. Will he be joining us on this wander? Therein lies the rub, and the reason for my call. Cerebus has his duties, and they may not be neglected. He supports so many beings' passage, his attentions cannot be redirected. You see, not only does he guard the gate to my realm, Death smiled and acknowledged Cerebus, who was laying happily on the foot of his master and Death's love and queen. Bards give Lady Law many names, and she, like Cerebus, bears witness and records all in the tapestry for Lord Death's judgment. Cerebus snored happily, warming the toes of those he loves. A dog is needed to soothe and support neutral judgment. Cerebus reminds me that I am there to meet it, not become it. Cerebus never lets me forget love as I hold and judge all of Lady Law's recordings. As our attention is in the constant demand, I call upon my spirit allies, you foremost among them, to help me solve Cerebus's dilemma. Let us pour our crone tea so that the leaves may express themselves fully before they are offered to the fire. Spiritfoot's deft hand was already tilting the boiling water pot and allowing the tortoise to make its final offering. Lord Death and Lady Lilith dedicated the merit as we brought the tea sadhana to a close and our adventure to the next opening. Lady Lilith Incas, Santos, and Rantos let fire take his role and offer the leaves. As fire consumed the offering, the full expression of each leaf sizzled and unfolded, opening a pathway into the cosmic highway. With a jaunty nod, as if it had been done 1,000 times before, Spiritfoot's friends dissolved into rainbow light, and in a swirl of all color went into their home in her foot. And she, with the ease of no effort, jumped into the fire. Journey begun. And next week, Chapter 2 of Death's Dog. I hope this finds you all with love and joy. Peace be with you. If you love the tales, please feel free to follow the lowly yogi wherever he may go and share it with those you love. Hey, until next time. Play us out, Monkey Max. Play us out.
Earth Mother and friends, you cross a hearth at last. Long have we grieved while the King of Demons had his way. But no longer, no longer, it's time to dance and sing. This is the time when the golden age begins. As we welcome love and peace and ease may it never cease. We welcome joy and bliss and all the eyes of the serpent's kiss. Welcome mother, welcome child, welcome Bodhi tender and mild. Welcome protection and welcome friends. It's been a long wait, but now the golden age begins. Welcome spring, summer, and fall. Winter is Persephone's and sweetest of all. Welcome immortality. Welcome all. It's time to dance and sing as the golden age begins. Welcome all your yogis, and we call you in. Welcome all you protectors, and we call you in. We welcome all you yogis as the golden age begins.